Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock takes. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes swings it.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, YouTube.com, Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher. I got Jordan Schultz across the glass from me.
I got a cold during the summer. How the hell does that happen?
Oh boy, I would get a COVID test immediately.
Oh no, I got two. They're both negative. We're good. I was around Rop after his Vegas-filled COVID trip, so I did not accidentally switch the two back and forth there. I mean, Vegas-filled COVID trip because he got COVID for the third time?
For coming back from Vegas?
Or fourth time. Yeah. I can't remember.
And then what we do have, and Jordan, if you can have the mic potted up and control the on and off buttons for the man, but across the faux marble table, I have one Jerry of Jerry's Tavern, Jerry's Pizza, and my new nickname that I have for you, the mustache of the Midway.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. And everyone knows the joke. You know, I have a face for radio, but I was telling Joe that I actually don't have a voice for radio either.
Oh, so neither do I.
Yeah, I apologize in advance to any listeners.
This is the worst sounding radio station this morning right now because of our voices. But if you do want to see that mustache, and I'm telling you, it is glorious, you can go to the YouTube page and watch us there. But dude, thank you for coming in this morning.
No, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We're going Midwest today. If you are watching the YouTube stream, you can see Jerry is decked out in full Chicago Bears garb right now. He's got the Jim McMahon jersey on. He's got the Pro Line throwback Bears hat. I mean, we've got a Midwest heavy show for you. Because also, I mean, like, I was thinking about this, Jordan, is that we are, what, like 5-6 Sundays until the NFL season?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're like the official, like, preseason play, or are you talking like the NFL regular season?
The first actual NFL
like
Sunday.
The Hall of Fame game.
Okay.
Well, we have like, yeah, because Hall of Fame game, that's like early August, yeah. Something like that. I mean, the first NFL game is on a Thursday, I believe.
There we go.
But the first NFL Sunday.
Where NFL we've got, Sunday.
You know, where we've got from 10 a.m. to the Sunday night game. I believe, is that, what is it, September 2nd or September 9th?
The Church of Football is opening.
September 8th, maybe? Yeah, exactly. Because obviously we're going to have week zero.
Which is August 31st. So yes. Excited the Ducks are actually playing in week zero this year. I have something to care about, even though it's Idaho, but I still have something to care about.
So it will be September 8th is the first NFL Sunday. So that is, we're going to do some counting on radio. That's just wonderful. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We are only 6 Sundays left until our first NFL Sunday. So I wanted Jerry in here because, I mean, Jerry, one, great guy.
Questionable, but thank you.
Oh, dude. Well, you're good company. I remember like I met you outside of your house because you live near where my girlfriend lives, and
we live next to one another.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and then I ended up coming by the bar before it happened. So Jerry's Tavern, if you haven't been there, it's right up the road from our studio on 30th and Nicolai.
30th and Nicolai, you got it. Yeah, it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, to be honest. We got in the Northwest Industrial area on one side and then kind of residential behind. But it's a kind of a funny little spot and a funny little neighborhood.
Yeah, it was the old Machida's Teriyaki location.
You got it.
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
Now I know why Joe is dating his girlfriend, because she lives 8 blocks from the station. It's the most convenient relationship you could have started.
So they live on the east side, 29th and Division.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Oh, my bad.
We're on the radio. Don't give my, information.
Somewhere on 29th and Division.
All right, let's pinpoint him to Jerry's house here.
Somewhere, exactly. Why don't we just give out my address and Social Security while we're at it?
Here's the number. Here's the mother's maiden name and the street he lived on, and give him all the answer to the security questions.
I did want to say, though, real quick, to go back, the Hall of Fame game this year is actually the Bears.
Ah.
We play in the Hall of Fame game against the Texans, I believe.
Do you think you'll see Caleb Williams playing that game at all?
I hope not.
You'll see him there, but
better
not be playing. But Jerry's Tavern right up the road from us on 30th and Nikolai. It is like, so the first time I went there, it was before you had even opened.
Yep.
And it was pretty funny because, like, in the job that I do outside of this, it's sales, talking to companies, and there's times that I forget that there's like, oh yeah, you have other problems and other things that you have to deal with other than talking to me. So when I came in there, you were like locked in on your laptop because you were negotiating hot dog prices and like garbage service. And that was like a moment where I was just like, wow, these are things I never even thought that a bar and business like obviously those are things you have to deal with, but you're in your emails like, dude, this company is trying to effing charge me like $2 for a hot dog. I know I can get cheaper, and this garbage disposal service as well is charging me for this, where I know this business down the road got it for this. I was like, damn, these are problems I never realized that bar would have to have these discussions.
And yeah, it's something new every day. And if you're thinking about opening a bar, I would really, really think about it first, especially somebody like me who's a total novice who just opened a bar with no experience. Just missed home and was like, you know what? I'm going to recreate like a Midwest basement or like a bar that, and again, being from the Midwest, small town in Illinois, right? The Wisconsin border. I grew up in bars. Like, you can go to bars. It's not like here in Portland where minors aren't, allowed. Mm-hmm. A lot of bars back home you can go to.
I think they allow that at Applebee's here, but that's about it. Seriously, you can bring kids to the Applebee's bar, but that's the only place I know of here.
Hey, that's the neighborhood grill, right?
Yes.
So.
Going to your bar for the first time and seeing you go through hot dog negotiations, like that was a pretty funny moment because I was just like, damn. Like,
so we have a certain type of hot dog back home. It's Vienna beef. So it costs, with shipping and whatnot, it can get a little pricey, but it's like, I can't have a $10 hot dog at a bar. It's a hot dog. You know what I mean? So, and that's the biggest thing for me too, is to try to keep everything affordable. As everybody continues to increase their price on everything, I feel like every week they're like, hey, we're increasing $5. And I'm like, why? Like, what's the reasoning behind that? And my goal is to keep things good, affordable, and consistent and friendly. So that's kind of what we're trying to do over at the bar.
Well, and what I'm most disappointed about the bar is that you don't know how to make green tea shots, man. What the hell is that?
If you want to go into that story real quick, you can. I just, and so, then I can interject if you
those
will.
Are tasty. Green tea shots are good.
So, again, like, if you haven't been to Jerry's Tavern, one, go there. But as Jerry described it, it is like the aura and theme and vibes of it is like your grandmother's basement, I think is how you put it, right? With all like the memorabilia, sports memorabilia, and the wood panel walls.
Like out of the Wonder Years, basically. Okay.
Dude, it is like old school dive bar, like absolutely fantastic. And it was like a month ago, me and the girl, we just got done at the river and we stopped by. It was a Saturday and it was like right after we got there, a good amount of people showed up and it got
pedal pub. It was the pedal pub.
Oh, okay,
one of the pedal
gotcha.
Pubs rolled up.
Gotcha. Okay. So it was super busy. And then to join this group of everybody in the bar was a bachelorette party. So I don't know where they came from, what their journey was, but they ended up at Jerry's Tavern. And there was, I don't know, probably like 9-10 deep of these girls,
Something like that.
And again, like, can you just run through some like the drink menu, like what you have beer wise and like liquor wise? Like, again, it's Midwest, so you got your Malort, obviously, but I mean, we're not talking like you have a full selection of spirits and beers here. Like,
yeah, and just so everyone knows as well, like I'm very new to this, and we're only about 2.5 months in and everything, so we're still working out kinks, we're figuring things out, and we're going to continue to get better. But we just have kind of a simple drink menu. I always joke when people come in and they ask for wine, I'm like, we have a vast selection of wine. We have red, and white.
Make your choice.
Which would you like?
I know the girlfriend is just loves that. You know, her being a wine connoisseur. Like, I always love to show, like, send her wine menus at places that are like not known for their wine to be like, what's your thoughts on this? And she's just like, no, none of them. Don't even consider it. But again, like, the choices here for a bachelorette party, they ended up asking for, and again, extremely busy. They asked you like, hey, what do you have? What can you make? And you're like, I can make just about anything. Just give me an effing order, please. Like, do you notice what's going on here? And then they hit them with, can you make green tea shots? Your response was so great. You just were like, look around. Like, that was literally your words. Look around you. No, I don't make green tea shots. Like,
but also just to let everyone know, it was like in a very nice, playful way. It wasn't like a bad service way.
You were rescuing them out of the door.
No, exactly. It was the perfect response.
I think I may have been talking into the microphone that controls Buck, my talking deer that's on the wall at the time.
That's
maybe
funny.
But yeah, it was funny too, like you were saying a second ago about the kind of how the bar looks and everything. But I think somebody, a customer the other day, said something like, I really like your shtick. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This isn't a shtick. This is me.
Get out.
The posters on the wall were on my wall when I was a kid. My mom was somewhat of a hoarder and never threw anything away. So when you look around the bar, the things on the walls are just my stuff.
Your memorabilia from, yeah, when you were at home. What it reminds me of my dad's garage. And he has come across so much crap from the time that he was a bouncer for a few different bars here in Portland. That's actually how he met one Isaac Everett Ropp. Was, gosh, 20, 25 years ago, there was a bar across from Providence Park called The Bitter End. Great bar name.
Yeah.
But Isaac was a bartender there, and my dad was the bouncer. And so that was one of the bars he was at. The Gemini in Lake Oswego was another one that my dad worked at. But he came across different tap handles, neon bar signs.
Oh, yeah.
He's got this great pool table light that is a Budweiser sign. And it's got, like, mountains on it and, like, the bottle on it. And it's a huge sign. Like, when he goes, sorting through that garage and dishing out the different memorabilia is going to be a task. But that's the vibes that I got when I go in. I'm like, dude, this reminds me of my dad's garage. We called it the Thunderdome growing up when I was out of high school, bringing the friends over. I'm like, hey, do you want to come over to the Thunderdome tonight?
You probably felt so cool.
Oh, yeah. Friends. You got to give it a name. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it definitely felt official. But no, like, that's the vibes I get from going there. And
I'm just inviting you into essentially my living room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're just hanging out. We're watching the game.
You can have a Miller and hang.
You got it.
Eat some really crappy but still yummy nachos. Like,
we actually have ballpark nachos, which is it's the Velveeta, like, nacho cheese with jalapenos, and we serve it in a baseball helmet.
Nice.
So
that's literally what I meant by crappy but still good nachos. Yeah. I was thinking of at T-Mobile Park, they give you the batting hat of nachos. There we go.
And we have those, and I always like to joke, I'm like, when bartenders are like, somebody asks, like, one of the bartenders, like, oh, what should I eat here? And then they're like, oh, well, like, we have fresh cut fries, like, we make them, they're really good and everything. I'm like, stop telling people everything's good. Lower the expectations. So yeah, you gotta lower expectations, so when they have the food, they're like, hey, this actually isn't too bad.
I'll take it. I like this.
This is okay.
No, I'm interested. I want a Vienna hot dog. Like, I'm not sure. I didn't really realize that, like, different parts of the country serve different types of, like, meat hot dogs or different combos. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm kind of fascinated by this now.
Yeah, and Vienna's obviously the big one in Chicago, but we've been getting people from everywhere. We get a lot of Midwesterners, but we get Portlanders that have been here born and raised. We get people from all over. It's a super diverse bar, but we got some friends from Minneapolis, and their dog in Minnesota, which I also lived in for a while, is the Ambassador Dog.
The Ambassador Dog.
And it's a very, very good hot dog as well. Natural casing, good snap when you bite it.
Ooh, gotta have good snap. Yep. I love to think that I am a glizzy connoisseur, but hearing you talk about hot dogs, I need to get my game up a little bit more.
I mean, the fact that you just said glizzy, which I didn't know what that was until, like, I think a week or two ago, somebody said glizzy, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Last July 4th, bro. It's all good.
Well, I mean, you got a year more than me. I just found out 2 weeks ago.
Hey, we're all in our 30s learning things every day. Yeah. It's okay. We can still be taught.
I just love, like, bratwursts are one of my favorite foods. Absolutely love bratwurst.
We're making homemade brats soon.
Oh, dude.
But here's the deal. My buddy up the street, Colin, at St. Lovejoy, which is in Brujos Brewing right here in the Northwest kind of industrial area. Yeah, we're doing homemade brats. We're going to start grilling them probably for lunch soon. So.
Oh, dear God. I will be there for lunch. My God. That is music to my ears, dude. Once my dad and I, we also realized, like, we had been cooking brats for years, but it was up until a couple of years ago. Like, dude, boiling them in beer and, like, seasoning the beer with, like, not just onions, but, like, pepper flakes, like, ground pepper, or not just ground pepper, but, like, the peppercorns, like, actually, like, seasoning the beer itself and boiling them in. And I don't know. I'll have to ask you, would you boil the bratwurst before grilling or after grilling?
Before. Yes, yeah, so you do like a basically get,
because I've seen both.
Get the beer and onions boiling, and like you said, if you want to add something to it or whatever, but yeah. You can get the beer and onion boiling, and then shut off the heat. Throw them in, shut off the heat. Don't let them boil in there. Just shut the heat off. The beer's warm or hot, and then just kind of let them cook, and then finish them on that grill to get a little char.
Throw
a little yellow mustard, onion, sauerkraut. You're ready to go.
Dude, we could probably just do 2 hours on bratwurst and hot dogs alone.
I mean, I'm mad. I was at Costco yesterday, and the line was so long, I skipped the $1.50 all-beef dog. That's one of my favorite dogs to grab. I mean, just best
classic
price
go-to.
Get. Well, yeah, and it literally is like, I could eat it plain. No ketchup, no mustard, no onions. Like, I could just
a naked glizzy. A raw dog and the dog.
Raw dog and the dog. Although, if we're talking like T-Mobile Park, got to throw the cream cheese on the glizzy. That's the Seattle way to do it.
And if you guys are hot dog fans and everything, my buddy Sage opened a place in Southeast called Third. It's called Third Coast Hot Dogs, and he's doing some cool stuff, which is hot dogs.
Okay.
And I think he's using the Costco hot dogs.
I love it, dude. Those all
which
beef
are delicious.
Oh yeah, they are.
And
Third
I'm a fan
Coast
that
hot dogs.
They're very adamant about not raising the prices, which I really. It's a loss leader.
Oh, the Costco hot dog?
Yeah, they're like, we don't raise the prices on this.
Their former CEO is famously quoted to saying to one of executives, or his executives at the time, if you raise the price of the hot dog, I'll effing kill you.
Yeah.
So it's still $1.50.
Oh my God. I'm on the Instagram page right now.
Yeah, he's operating out of,
Dear Christ, the
bike shop over there. It's called, he has Gray Horse Saloon. Is essentially kind of his small bar, but then Third Coast Hot Dogs is kind of what he makes within the small bar that is within the motorcycle shop.
Dude,
that is so Portland, and I love it.
Yeah, it's like three things kind of in one.
Well, yes, I'm going to hit that follow button immediately. Dude, some of these hot dogs.
Like an actual like chef. Like, that's what he does. And there's somebody like me who's like a home cook. I just kind of mess around and then was like, I'll open a bar. Because I miss home and I don't know.
But you care. See, if you're just opening a bar saying, whatever, you know, let's try something and I don't really put too much effort into it. You're actually putting effort into a concept and really, no, that's really awesome, man. That's cool.
Before I start literally spending 2 hours on hot dogs.
Yeah, we're 18 minutes
let's,
in.
Yeah, usually I try to be better about this in the first segment, but again, you get me on glizzies. This is going to happen. Dear God, I would follow that page if I were your Third Coast Dogs PDF.
Okay, food porn back later on. Yeah, like.
But also follow Jerry's Tavern on Instagram, JERRYS Tavern. But we do have our Sports Sunday poll question brought to you by Malort and Old Style. No, they did not pay for the sponsorship, but I decided to give them love this time since you were in here.
And anyone who may be wondering, we do not have Old Style. It may be something that we get in the future, but I talked to the Pabst rep, and they're having a resurgence of the brand back in the Midwest. And they started brewing back in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And you can Google or look up, the largest six-pack in the world is actually in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and it's an Old Style six-pack, Helaman's Brewing.
Ooh.
Now, they're having this resurgence, so it's not really a priority to ship Jerry's Tavern in Portland, Oregon, Old Style beer. But you never know. Maybe give it a year or so, and we can negotiate. Or maybe if any listeners want to drink an Old Style, just keep hitting up Pabst and Columbia Distributing here in Portland, Oregon,
and
maybe
please.
We can bug them enough to where they'll be like, "All right, we're gonna bring some Old Style in." But we do have Malort at the bar.
You got any Miller High Life?
Come on.
I love you. Okay, I'm literally going to go there after the show.
But within 2 weeks of being open, my my Columbia rep, who's the Miller House here in Portland, she was like, you're my number one High Life account in all of Northwest Portland, and it's not even close.
Man, I feel like you need a plaque. You need to hang on the wall for that or something.
I think we need to earn that first, Joe. Give us a little time. We're 2.5 months in. If a year from now we're still going through, you know, cases upon cases of Miller High Life, the champagne of beers, then we can talk about awards.
Well, the poll question is, for honor of Jerry being here, what Midwest football team has the most pressure this season? Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers, your Wisconsin Badgers, or the Nebraska Cornhuskers? Right now, as the poll stands on the 1080 The Fan Twitter page, X account, the leader in the clubhouse is your Chicago Bears.
I would agree.
They have the 36.6% lead, just above the Nebraska Cornhuskers, 31.7%. Oh, the poll is changing. The votes are coming in as we speak. And Packers in third at 27.5%. Badgers only 5%. So not a lot of pressure on the Badgers.
Yeah, again, I would kind of also agree with that a little bit. I mean, I'd like to see them obviously do well, but the last couple of years have been kind of rough for the Badgers,
well,
unfortunately.
What I want to do first, diving into this Midwest show of Sports Sunday, is you are a Wisconsin Badgers fan. You graduated from Wisconsin, correct?
Oh, no. Here, I can really quickly, within 30 seconds, I can kind of tell you that story. So I went to DePaul University in Chicago.
Okay.
But my wife, born and raised in Madison.
Okay.
She went to the University of Wisconsin, and she got her MBA from the University of Wisconsin.
Gotcha.
So when we started dating way back when, DePaul doesn't have football, but I've always loved sports. We didn't have a football team.
That's why you go with the Badgers.
There you go. So we started dating, and I'm like, oh, well, I need a college football team, and the Badgers it is.
All right. So what I want to do next is, since you are a Big Ten football fan, is get your feelings, a true Big Ten football fan's feelings on the new Big Ten.
I feel like we're going to get to that?
Yes, we're going to take a break. Because, again, dear God, we could go 2 hours on hot dogs, but there are.
I know more about hot dogs than I know about, you know. Anyway.
Well, again, we'll get your feelings on the Big Ten, the Bears, the Badgers. We got a lot of Midwest stuff to get to. But let's get your feelings on this new Big Ten next here. I got Jerry Benedetto here from Jerry's Tavern, Jerry's Pizza, here in studio on Sports Sunday. We get to Big Ten football next here on 1080 The Fan. All right, we got Jerry Benedetto here in the... Please tell me I'm saying your last name right.
Benedetto, you got it.
Cool. I didn't know it was Benedetto or Benedetto.
Growing up, everyone, like, I played sports growing up and like, announcers for different, like, other schools and everything.
Benedetto!
You got it. And I'm like, all right.
It's okay. I call Bam Adebayo, Bam Abadayo all the time.
Like, switch the B and the D.
I've literally gotten 3 correction emails from Boss Man. It's not that I don't know his name or I don't watch him. It's that my brain just sucks.
The Boss Man.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Used to get me on Detroit because I used to say Detroit.
Ah.
And it's actually supposed to be pronounced Detroit.
Well, if anyone should know, it should be you from Portland, where all the street. I mean, when we moved here, you know, you're saying stuff wrong, like couch
yeah.
street.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
That's cooch.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
But how is it spelled couch and said cooch? That makes no sense.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of the Midwest, we do have Jerry in here, and I wanted to get his feelings on this new Big Ten because it's It's changed a bit. You know, it's got the mighty Midwest teams of now USC and UCLA.
And the styles of players different as well, which will be really interesting to see how that what happens. But the I don't know how I feel about, like, conferences becoming bigger and bigger. But as far as, like, I live in Portland now, I'm super excited because the Badgers next year will be in Eugene.
Yeah, I looked that up beforehand. I was hoping that they were in Eugene this year. But, yeah, you're going to have to wait a year because they're in Camp Randall this season.
Yep. But what I'm planning to do, and it's great because it gives me a year to kind of plan this out, is I don't know what time the game's going to be at or anything in Eugene, but we're doing a bus.
Oh,
we're doing a bus from the bar.
Yeah.
We got to do a bus from the bar. We got to get down there. We got to tailgate. I've never been to Autzen, right? Autzen.
Yes. Yeah, dude. I mean, it's and I assume you have been to a Wisconsin game. What games in the Midwest, like, what stadiums have you been to?
For any sport?
Well, as far as like college football goes, have you been to other
college games? Football? I've been to the Big House in Ann Arbor.
Oh, nice.
I've been to Ryan Field in for Northwestern.
Gotcha.
Obviously, I've been to Camp Randall a ton. My wife and I actually, growing up, Lauren, that's my wife, she actually was the family, kind of the family business. They would park cars near Camp Randall because her grandfather built a number of properties near Camp Randall.
Gotcha.
And when we started dating, I had a lot. So I would park cars for Badger football games. We'd go to Granny Goodtime's house, and we would watch the Badgers, and sometimes we would actually go to the game as well. But, yeah, so Camp Randall, I've been down in Champaign. Who am I forgetting?
Fighting Illini, home of my grandfather, rest in peace.
There we go.
Yeah, I love Champaign. I mean, I did back in college. I had a buddy that went to a school in Decatur, Illinois. I used to cruise quite
Decatur,
a lot.
That is the armpit of Illinois.
It is the armpit of Illinois. It smells like soybeans, but I do have a little bit of Midwest knowledge out there since my buddy was so long there for school.
Yeah, that's a part of the country I have not explored at all. I want to say
it's flyover country, or at least that's what a lot of people say, but we're starting to get a little recognition, I would say, maybe a little bit.
My grandpa lives in Missouri. And lives in a very, very small township called Eldon, Missouri, which is basically near the Ozarks. It's like right.
I feel like that's southern.
Yeah.
So basically, I think it's I-70 that runs. There's St. Louis and then Kansas City on the other side of the state. If you are north of that or in either of those cities, I kind of personally would consider that Midwest. Okay. You go south of that, now we're getting a little southern.
Yeah, he is, you can kind of see this point on
the map. Is that 70 right there, Joe?
He is south of I-70.
Okay.
So basically like smack dab in the middle of Kansas City and St. Louis, just south of Jefferson City.
Okay.
But you know, near Osage area, Osage Beach, the Osage River, and the Lake of the Ozarks. So that is about the... And then we drove one time from there to Lexington, Kentucky. And so we drove through the like most southern points of Illinois and in Indiana.
Oh, you get into southern Illinois and we're by Paducah, Kentucky and down there. And that's yeah. Pretty kind of... We're kind of southern at that point.
So, I mean, like, do you... Like, you're happy about having the new teams in the Big Ten becoming, like, because it's almost like the Big Ten was fine as is. It's the Big Ten, for God's sakes. But yeah. Getting Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, like, again, you living in Portland, having these teams that are essentially these West Coast teams now joining the Big Ten, like, I don't know. It's got to be, like, mixed emotions in a sense.
That's what I'm most excited about is that I'll be able to kind of, again, go to Eugene, maybe even at some point take a trip to some of these other, you know, up to Seattle to see the Badgers play there. But again, it'll just be so interesting because the styles of play are just, you know, the Midwest, you know, old school Midwest Big Ten teams. And I'm talking specifically kind of with the Badgers. It's kind of like, you know, defense. I mean, we've never really had, I mean, a great quarterback or anything. We kind of always have great running backs from the East Coast.
You got some big hog corn, mollies on the offensive line.
Corn-fed Midwest boys that, you know, are on the O-line and it's kind of the game. But then to see, like, you know, like with Washington and Oregon and kind of historically how they play the game, it'll be kind of cool to see, I think.
Yeah, a little high-flying offense, fast speed play versus this down-low defensive trenches type. But yeah, it's going to be different.
Well,
yeah.
Let's get into the poll question a little bit more in this next segment, where it's what Midwest football team has the most pressure this season. That is on the 1080 Fan Twitter and X page. Brought to you by Malort and Old Style. Is it the Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers, Wisconsin Badgers, Nebraska Cornhuskers? I want to stay in the college football realm because Wisconsin is interesting because of what you mentioned, how they what they're known for and what they're trying to be. But also, I want to get into Nebraska a little bit and just more of this Big Ten kind of preview in a sense. We're going to do an NFC North preview in the second hour as well. We might get to some USA basketball, men's and women's, because, boy, what a day yesterday. Could have been, well, it was kind of ugly on one side of them. It was ugly for both teams, really. And then maybe into some baseball. But let's get into this poll question more. Which Midwest football team has the most pressure this season? Bears, Packers, Badgers, Cornhuskers. We do that next year. Sports Sunday, right here, 1080 The Fan. Sports Sunday, Joe Fisher, Jordan Schultz across the glass on the ones and twos. And then we got Jerry Benedetto of Jerry's Tavern, Jerry's Pizza.
We don't have yet, Joe.
No, I know. Trust me. That thing, those pizzas must be like a gift and a curse. Like, what the pizzas have brought to your life. Like,
I can imagine, like, if I never started making those pizzas, who knows where I'd be. But also, how many times have people told you about the bar? Oh, yeah, man, I'll definitely come through once you have the pizzas. Once you start making those, I'll come by. It's like, how about you just come by and just chill and hang out and have a drink? Like,
yeah, it's kind of a fun little hole in the wall, to be honest. I mean, we have so many stories, and again, such a 2.5 or almost 3 month journey. So many cool stories. Actually, one, if you don't mind me sharing, from last night, right before I was heading out around 10:30, two ladies walked in, and one had just picked up a friend from the airport, and we had about 30 people at the bar. Again, it's around a little later. We close at 11, and she just said, "Hey, I just picked my friend up from the airport. This is Sarah.
Do you guys have green tea shots?"
Yeah, no, she did not ask that, but she said, "This is my friend, and she's actually just found out she's cancer-free."
Hell yeah.
So we made an announcement at the bar. The whole bar cheered. Yeah. Everyone bought their round and bought her a hot dog and everything. And it was kind of a funny moment because, like, people started crying. That's what a bar is to me. A bar is community.
Yeah.
It's a third space. You know, you have work, you have home, and then you need this other place to go and converse. And the one cool thing too is not many people have their phones out at the bar, which is really interesting, especially today. Everyone kind of has their phones out. People just kind of talk to one another. You can come alone, you can come with a group, but everyone's welcome, and it's just kind of a fun little spot.
Definitely get those vibes the couple times I've been there. Went there for the Iowa South Carolina championship game. We were there for that, and then the last time we were there about a month or so ago when we stopped by after the river. And yeah, it's just everybody is just hanging out. Definitely. It's
a bar. It's like truly, like, we have no, people are like, "Why do you think people have been coming here?" And I'm like, you know, I don't really know, but we're just kind of a bar. And maybe that's what some people are kind of looking for now, is just a bar.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything crazy. We're not trying to be anything different. We're just a bar.
Yeah. You know, with you bringing that up, I do want to make sure that we update anybody that's listening out there, because Rashad, we were out last week, so we couldn't give any updates then. And I want to say the week before was the first show that we did that we did not have Rashad Taylor, the host, who's usually sitting in your chair. He recently posted something to his Facebook, like a 6.5-7 minute video giving you updates and everything. And I'm actually going to go find his GoFundMe page to retweet it out on the 1080 The Fan page. But he has given some updates on his medical issues, his health right now. He told people a couple weeks ago that he had a tumor that was growing on his kidney, and so he had to go in and have operation. He said he was like living with it for like a year, something like that, and just like had no health issues outside of it. Just, you know, it was a little bit of firmness, but other than that, like, no eating issues, no pain, you know, other than like a little bit of discomfort, like when there was maybe some pressure on there. But he went in and had surgery on July 3rd. He was in recovery at the hospital for about a week and a half or something like that. But the doctors informed him that they went in there and they got everything that they could see in there. They got everything that they could see out of his body. So, yeah, they did say that it was a stage one type of cancer. I don't know. He had the medical terminology on that Facebook video he posted, but he looks and sounds good. Like, he called me on the phone like about a week ago and we talked, and he sounds good. Like, he didn't tell me that there was any other like procedures or things that needed to happen. So at the moment, I think he is just in a recovery phase and just getting healthier and trying to get some actual food in him. He said he didn't eat for like a week and a half or something like that. Was just having to have like juice and Jellos and just BS and broths, you know,
That's the
hospital diet basically. But I'll try and get another update from him. But again, doctors got everything they could see in there. And it was not just like a small tumor. Like, the words he used to describe it were cantaloupe, watermelon size. Like, it was sizable. So I'm hoping that, you know, maybe before football season or right when football season starts, he'll be back. We don't know yet. But I at least wanted to give people an update on there because I know some people were curious. And I'll find the GoFundMe account. I know he sent it to me, and we've had some of the on-air personalities tweet it out. So if you want to donate to Rashad and his medical treatment, because as we are in America and medical bills are outrageous, he'll need any of the help that he can get. So again, with this story that you shared, I just want to make sure I updated any of the listeners about what was going on with Rashad. So let's get back on the clock. Because I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, all right, this is a perfect opportunity to take a break so that way we can get back on the Big Ten football and the poll question, which, again, which Midwest team, which Midwest football team has most pressure, whether it's the Bears, the Packers, the Cornhuskers, or the Badgers. So we will get to that next here. We got an NFC North preview that we got to do of all the NFC North teams. I want to look at some over-under win totals, what they're projected as far as for Vikings, Lions, Bears, Packers, oh my. So we will get to that next here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Sports Sunday, we're going Midwest here. Our poll question, I said what Midwest football team has the most pressure this season? Is it the Bears, the Packers, the Badgers, or the Cornhuskers? I want to start with those last two teams, the Badgers and the Cornhuskers. The reason I bring them up are for two separate reasons. The Badgers are going through like kind of an identity crisis here, because you brought up earlier in the show that what is Wisconsin known for? Defense, running the ball, having huge, fat, corn-fed linemen up front and just pounding the line of scrimmage all day long until you're tired, and having a Monte Ball or someone run for 200, 250 yards a game, right? Like, that is what they're known for. But now it's year two of Luke Fickell. And
the air raid.
Yes.
It's supposed to be the air raid.
And that's
Tanner Mordecai, and that didn't really pan out.
Yeah. And that's where I think it's this year I wanted to put them in there, is because watching the Badgers last year, I felt like they tried that for the first part of the year, and then they're like, all right, we're clearly not ready for this. Let's just go back to what we have the players for and continue to do that, and then we'll kind of approach this again next year. So, like, the Badgers, I think the over-under win total for them this year was 6.5, which, again, for a team going through, like, an offense identity switch, I understand, but I wonder, as Wisconsin fans, like, how long until, like, do you go through another season of that? And then it's like, all right, year three, like, next year is the one. It's like, all right, we need to get to 9-10 wins. Because Wisconsin is known as being one of those thorn in the side Big Ten teams that it's like, we'll get an upset in Ohio State, Michigan, whoever, Penn State, and get 10 wins. And
typically win their side of the division.
Yes.
And then losing the Big Ten championship to Ohio State by like 40. So
right.
It's like, that's kind of what it's been.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, like, that's where I look at them, and they are receiving the least votes in this poll question. So that's got to feel good as Wisconsin fans. Like, hey, I guess we have no pressure this year.
Yeah, I guess we'll take them. We'll see what happens. I mean, you got to get a win at right away against Western Michigan and South Dakota.
Oh, Western Michigan, the Chippewas?
Western Michigan is the Broncos, I believe.
Who are the Chippewas? Oh, that's Central Michigan. Central Michigan.
Are we
Chippewas.
Right? Western is the Broncos?
Yes.
Can we get
yes,
some
that's right. They're
yeah.
They're black and gold, I want to say, are their colors, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Western, are they Kalamazoo? I think they might be in Kalamazoo. I'm not sure.
So, again, like, Wisconsin, I would love to see the Luke Fickell air raid offense, like, work out. I would love to see that team, like, make that identity switch and work out, because it's something we've never seen in Wisconsin before.
Yeah, and it's way more fun to watch as well when there's some action. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was great to watch, like, Jonathan Taylor a couple years back just, like,
right.
go for 200-plus yards on a regular basis. But to kind of throw the ball around would be nice to see. But we got another transfer quarterback coming from Miami, Van Dyke, so I don't know.
Is that for real?
Tyler Van Dyke, yeah.
I didn't even look that up or see that ahead of time. Because
we had Tanner Mordecai, who
right.
came from SMU, I believe.
Wow, Tyler Van Dyke is going to be this. Well, I don't know if he'll be the starter, but I mean, I would assume so, going into camp, that he is in the best position to be the starter for Wisconsin.
That's why he went there.
That is that is wild.
I'm assuming the coach said, hey, we're gonna keep this open for you.
Well, yeah. I'm sure that a lot of coaches tell players that too. Like, oh yeah,
Yeah, you'll be starter. Commit to us. We'll definitely start you. And then they get in camp and they're like, oh no, whoever wins this position, it's open to, this position's completely open. You know, whoever performs best in training camp. But man, that's wild that that they're going to have Tyler Van Dyke there.
Good for Van Dyke getting out of Mario Cristobal's grasp, too. I mean, seriously, like, everybody's like, oh, he's a great quarterback. He is. And he, for two seasons, had to play under Mario.
Well, that's a
very unimaginative offensive mind.
Well, one of my buddies who I was going to have in here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, but he is a diehard Miami Hurricanes fan. And trying to get, like, a true, like, I say honest opinion, but he's one of those fans where he will tell you, like, oh yeah, Miami is going to win the ACC and they'll probably go 12-1. And it's like, you don't actually believe that, do you? And he's like, why wouldn't I? And it's just like, dude, please stop. Like, I would love to actually get his opinion. Like, please tell me for real. Like, quit playing with me and yanking my chain, like, on the Miami Hurricanes. But again, this year with Wisconsin, the over-under win total, I believe I saw it was at 6.5 for Wisconsin. Yes, 6.5 in Vegas. So, gosh, again, like, just seeing Wisconsin at this point with that record is a 6-6 or a 7-5. I mean, I would think that an 8-win season in Wisconsin this year, it'd be like, all right, I'm happy with that. I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, they got Alabama on the schedule this year. Obviously, the Big Ten's tough. They got, I mean, with the change in the Big Ten as well, I mean, you got USC, who I actually don't know much about now with, you know, we're probably going to get into talking a little bit about Caleb Williams here in a little bit. But then just the classic Big Ten teams, Penn State, you know, as long as we beat Minnesota and get the axe and, you know.
I want Paul Bunyan's axe, yeah. Damn it.
Yeah.
That is, again, that's crazy. Yeah, Alabama at Wisconsin at Camp Randall in week 3. That will be a fun game to watch. That's a 9 a.m. kick. And then the very next week, Wisconsin at USC. That is just bizarre as far as looking at Wisconsin's schedule, seeing those two games back to back.
And the Oregon game November 16th, which is a day before my wife's birthday, which is the 17th. Yeah, it's interesting looking at the schedule.
So now I will, and then right after that Oregon game against Wisconsin, you will play at Nebraska. And Nebraska is the other team that's in this poll question because they, I don't know what hype is for Nebraska at this point because, I mean, they haven't been relevant for years.
I dropped Eric Crouch earlier. I was like, isn't that the last time they were relevant was like Eric Crouch?
I think Bo Pelini had some good seasons after that. But as far as national prominence, yeah, Mr. Quarterback into wide receiver Eric Crouch, that would be correct.
Well, and at this moment in time on the poll question, they have the second most votes. They're at 32% as far as the Midwest football team that has the most
pressure.
Are there
a lot of Huskers in Portland?
Hey, Twitter, X, you know, we reach the masses all over. Right?
I forget how social media works. It's
people
not like just
searching
like here.
Midwest or Nebraska, you know, this poll question show. I'm sure there are some people that are seeing this poll question that listen to the fan. They're like, why the hell should we care about the Midwest? Like, why? What the hell does this question have to do with anything? But again, because you were in, I wanted to go Midwest heavy today. But Nebraska, they are getting, again, I don't know if hype is the right word, because when you are used to winning 4 or 5 or 6 games a year, like, I feel that the Scott Frost years, they were extremely disappointing, and now this is year 2 of Matt Rhule, and then they get Dylan Raiola, who is one of the most coveted prospects over the last year. He was originally supposed to go to Georgia, decommits from there, now he's at Nebraska. Like, they have an over-under win total projection of 7.5 games. And I've seen, I don't even know if, like, thinking that they are a real threat in the Big Ten, or it's just a matter of like, oh no, they should just be better than they normally are. Like, that is the quote unquote hype of Nebraska. It's like, oh, well, they're not going to suck. I mean, they'll be formidable. They'll be decent enough. And is that, like, that's the expectations for Nebraska at this point? Like, winning 8 games to them is a successful season.
Well, they've been pretty irrelevant for a pretty long time. So, I and sorry, Husker fans out there. But, yeah, I mean, they should beat UTEP, Northern Iowa.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
They have gone, this is their schedule, I'm not even kidding, since 2017, or their record since 2017. 2017, 4-8. 2018, 4-8. 2019, 5-7. The COVID year, 3-5. 2021, 3-9. 2022, 4-8. 2023, 5-7. They haven't had winning season since Mike Riley was there in 2016, for God's sakes. That might have been the year that they beat Oregon, when Oregon went to Nebraska in 2016, and they beat them then. I think that is the year that happened, in 2016. But dear God, I mean, you're going on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight losing seasons in Nebraska.
Never should have fired Bo. Never should have fired Bo Pelini, man. It's like, I get that there were some issues. Maybe he wasn't the nicest guy, but does nice matter in football?
He literally, Bo Pelini got you 7 straight years of at least 9 wins in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And then you go and have
title appearance.
Well, in the first year of Mike Riley, you went 6-7. So then that means, what is that? 8 of the last 9 seasons, you have had a losing record in Nebraska. So yeah, I guess when your over-under win total is set to 7.5, then yeah, hey, we have some hype this year. We have some hype this year that we might not actually suck. Good for you, Cornhuskers. You might not be bad this year. I am excited to see Dylan Raiola, though, because he was, I believe, the number 2 quarterback in his recruiting class. And when a kid leaves Georgia to go to Nebraska, they must be giving him some stock and some, like, corn farms out there or something like that. Like, the fact that he made that decision, They definitely ponied up some cash for that.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a fun game this year, that second game, September 7th, Colorado and Nebraska. It's kind of always been a little rivalry, but now we got Deion in, his second year?
Yeah, that's that was one, I think a couple weeks ago, there was someone on Twitter I was going back and forth with, and I was like, I don't know what team to root for, like, or who I want to see that lose that game more. Colorado or Nebraska? Because again, the Nebraska hype, quote unquote hype, this year is just like baffling to me. But also, I would think, you know, when I really have to think about it, that I would want Nebraska to win that game over Colorado, because Colorado is just, by the day, is becoming more and more insufferable with Deion and Shador and that entire team. So I'm gonna pull for Nebraska in that one at least. But again, I'm intrigued to see how Nebraska's season goes in general. As far as like looking at their schedule, they'll have to go to Ohio State, they'll have to go to USC, they'll have to go to Iowa. I mean, it's not like too crazy of a schedule. Really, the toughest team that they will play is Ohio State, and then that game at Iowa, which will probably be like a 7-3 final score. but again, like looking at the schedule, I mean, I do understand why the over-under is set at 7.5, because you're playing to start the year UTEP, Northern Iowa. Those should be a couple wins. I mean, you get Colorado and start the season 3-0, and then you play Illinois, Purdue, Rutgers, Indiana. I mean, that start of the season schedule-wise is, you know, not pretty favorable for Nebraska.
I do wonder, though, and actually, you know, Jerry, good question for you. I know we're kind of getting close to the top of the hour, but with this travel now, I know that there's going to be student athletes that are, you know, going to be having different situations than they ever have, with conferences aligning differently and cross-country trips. Do you know anybody that's like, as soon as this happened in the Big Ten, like, oh my gosh, Oregon, Wisconsin, like, I'm going to start putting this on my calendar now. I'm going to try to get out to Eugene. Are there people there from the Midwest that are now excited about coming out to the West Coast? Or have you heard people excited to come there, vice versa? I've kind of wondered about that.
Yeah, I mean, at the bar, I mean, there's been people, you know, born and raised here in Oregon that are kind of excited to go to Madison, experience Camp Randall and the tailgating. Because, I mean, yeah, that's one thing. I mean, if we do anything right in the Midwest, it's tailgating. And one of my favorite experiences was, I forget how, what is it, 5, 6 years ago or so, when opening the season, Badgers, LSU at Lambeau Field.
Oh,
that was some of the best tailgating I've ever experienced, because you got all these people that travel from Baton Rouge up to Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're grilling brats and, you know, other Wisconsin types.
They're
food,
bringing deep fried chicken.
They are bringing, I mean, jambalaya. I mean, they're bringing everything up there, and they're tailgating with it, and everyone's getting along and having a good time. So, if anything, I mean, if you are an Oregon fan or you know, a Washington fan or whatnot, I would highly recommend heading to Madison in the coming years to get that experience. You know, tailgating and just the friendliness of everybody.
Yeah, and it's going to be, I'm sure, just nice, balmy weather out there on November 16th in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you never know. But yeah, it could might be a little chilly.
Is there a club area in that stadium that I can kind of hang out in?
Stay warm in?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the Big Ten, obviously, we're keeping an eye on this. It's still so bizarre to say that, too, is that, like, we have to pay attention to the Big Ten out here. Like, it's, I don't know if it's going to hit until the season starts and conference play actually begins, because even seeing things like the Big Ten patch on Oregon's jerseys, it's just like, what?
Like, worlds are colliding. Yes. Like Costanza.
Yeah. It is wild. All right. Want to take a break here for hour number two and get into some NFL football, because we got to get to Jerry's Bears.
Bears.
Dude, just a huge season for them coming up. The NFC North in general, Bears. It's going to be one of the more interesting divisions in football this season. Do an NFC North preview. We might get to U.S. men's basketball and women's basketball. We might have to talk about a certain division in the MLB. Sorry, Jordan. Hopefully we don't have enough time for that.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
Hour number two, though, with Jerry Benedetto of Jerry's Tavern. We will get to the NFC North next here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Sports Sunday, Joe Fisher, Jordan Schultz across the glass on the ones and twos. And then we got Jerry Benedetto of Jerry's Tavern, Jerry's Pizza.
We don't have yet, Joe.
No, I know. Trust me. That thing, those pizzas must be like a gift and a curse. Like, what the pizzas have brought to your life, like, I can imagine, like, if I never started making those pizzas, who knows where I'd be. But also, how many times have people told you about the bar? Oh, yeah, man, I'll definitely come through once you have the pizzas. Once you start making those, I'll come by. It's like, how about you just come by and just chill and hang out and have a drink? Like,
yeah, it's kind of a fun little hole in the wall, to be honest. I mean, we have so many stories, and again, such a 2.5 or almost 3 month journey. So many cool stories. Actually, one, if you don't mind me sharing, from last night, right before I was heading out around 10:30, two ladies walked in, and one had just picked up a friend from the airport, and we had about 30 people at the bar. Again, it's around a little later. We close at 11. And she just said, "Hey, I just picked my friend up from the airport. This is Sarah.
Do you guys have green tea shots?"
Yeah, no, she did not ask that. But she said, "This is my friend, and she's actually just found out she's cancer-free."
Hell yeah.
So we made an announcement at the bar. The whole bar cheered. Yeah. Everyone bought their round and bought her a hot dog and everything. And it was kind of a funny moment, because, like, people started crying. That's what a bar is to me. A bar is community.
Yeah.
It's a third space. You know, you have work, you have home, and then you need this other place to go and converse. And the one cool thing, too, is not many people have their phones out at the bar, which is really interesting, especially today. Everyone kind of has their phones out. People just kind of talk to one another. You can come alone, you can come with a group, but everyone's welcome, and it's just kind of a fun little spot.
Definitely get those vibes the couple times I've been there. Went there for the Iowa-South Carolina championship game. We were there for that. And then the last time we were there, about a month or so ago, when we stopped by after the river. And yeah, it's just everybody is just hanging out. Definitely. It's
a bar. It's like truly, like, we have no, people are like, "Why do you think people have been coming here?" And I'm like, you know, I don't really know, but we're just kind of a bar. And maybe that's what some people are kind of looking for now, is just a bar.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything crazy. We're not trying to be anything different. We're just a bar.
Yeah. You know, with you bringing that up, I do want to make sure that we update anybody that's listening out there, because Rashad, we were out last week, so we couldn't give any updates then. And I want to say the week before was the first show that we did that we did not have Rashad Taylor, the host, who's usually sitting in your chair. He recently posted something to his Facebook, like a 6.5-7 minute video giving you updates and everything. And I'm actually going to go find his GoFundMe page to retweet it out on the 1080 The Fan page. But he has given some updates on his medical issues, his health right now. He told people a couple weeks ago that he had a tumor that was growing on his kidney, and so he had to go in and have operation. He said he was, like, living with it for like a year urinary, something like that, and just like didn't
had no,
no health issues outside of it. Just, you know, it was a little bit of firmness, but other than that, like no eating issues, no pain, you know, other than like a little bit of discomfort, like when there was maybe some pressure on there. But he went in and had surgery on July 3rd. He was in recovery at the hospital for about a week and a half or something like that. But the doctors informed him that they went in there and they got everything that they could see in there. They got everything that they could see out of his body. So they did say that it was a stage one type of cancer. I don't know. He had the medical terminology on that Facebook video he posted, but he looks and sounds good. Like, he called me on the phone like about a week ago and we talked, and he sounds good. Like, he didn't tell me that there was any other like procedures or things that needed to happen. So at the moment, I think he is just in a recovery phase and just getting healthier and trying to get some actual food in him. He said he didn't eat for like a week and a half or something like that. Was just having to have like juice and Jellos and just BS and broths, you know.
That's
the,
rough.
The hospital diet, basically. I'll try and get another update from him. But again, doctors got everything they could see in there, and it was not just like a small tumor. Like, the words he used to describe it were cantaloupe, watermelon size. Like, it was sizable. So I'm hoping that, you know, maybe before football season or right when football season starts, he'll be back. We don't know yet, but I at least wanted to give people an update on there because I know some people were curious. And I'll find the GoFundMe account. I know he sent it to me, and we've had some of the on-air personalities tweet it out. So if you want to donate to Rashad and his medical treatment, because as we are in America and medical bills are outrageous, he'll need any of the help that he can get. So, again, with this story that you shared, I just want to make sure I updated any of the listeners about what was going on with Rashad. So let's get back on the clock because I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, all right, this is a perfect opportunity to take a break so that way we can get back on the Big Ten football and the poll question, which, again, which Midwest football team has most pressure, whether it's the Bears, the Packers, the Cornhuskers, or the Badgers. So we will get to that next here. We got an NFC North preview that we got to do of all the NFC North teams. I want to look at some over-under win totals, what they're projected as far as for Vikings, Lions, Bears, Packers, oh my. So we will get to that next here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Sports Sunday, we're going Midwest here. Our poll question, I said, what Midwest football team has the most pressure this season? Is it the Bears, the Packers, the Badgers, or the Cornhuskers? I want to start with those last two teams, the Badgers and the Cornhuskers. The reason I bring them up are for two separate reasons. The Badgers are going through like kind of an identity crisis here, because you brought up earlier in the show that what is Wisconsin known for? Defense, running the ball, having huge, fat, corn-fed linemen up front and just pounding the line of scrimmage all day long until you're tired, and having a Monte Ball or someone run for 200, 250 yards a game, right? Like, that is what they're known for. But now it's year two of Luke Fickell. And
the air raid.
Yes.
It's supposed to be the air raid.
And that's
Tanner Mordecai, and that didn't really pan out.
Yeah. And that's where I think it's this year I wanted to put them in there, is because watching the Badgers last year, I felt like they tried that for the first part of the year, and then they're like, all right, we're clearly not ready for this. Let's just go back to what we have the players for and continue to do that, and then we'll kind of approach this again next year. So, like, the Badgers, I think the over-under win total for them this year was 6.5, which, again, for a team going through, like, an offense identity switch, I understand, but I wonder, as Wisconsin fans, like, how long until, like, do you go through another season of that? And then it's like, all right, year three, like, next year is the one. It's like, all right, we need to get to 9-10 wins. Because Wisconsin is known as being one of those thorn in the side Big Ten teams that it's like, we'll get an upset in Ohio State, Michigan, whoever, Penn State, and get 10 wins. And
typically win their side of the division.
Yes.
And then losing the Big Ten championship to Ohio State by like 40. So
right.
It's like, that's kind of what it's been.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, like, that's where I look at them, and
they are receiving the least votes in this poll question. So that's got to feel good as Wisconsin fans. Like, hey, I guess we have no pressure this year.
Yeah, I guess we'll take it and we'll see what happens. I mean, you got to get a win at right away against Western Michigan and South Dakota.
Oh, Western Michigan, the Chippewas?
Western Michigan is the Broncos, I believe.
Who are the Chippewas? Oh, that's Central Michigan. Central Michigan.
Are we
Chippewas.
Right? Western is the Broncos.
Yes. Can we get yes, some that's right. They're yeah. they're black and gold, I want to say, are their colors, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Western, are they Kalamazoo? I think they might be in Kalamazoo. I'm not sure.
So, again, like Wisconsin, I would love to see the Luke Fickell air raid offense like work out. I would love to see that team like make that identity switch and work out, because it's something we've never seen in Wisconsin before.
Yeah, and it's way more fun to watch as well. When there's some action. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was great to watch like Jonathan Taylor a couple years back just like go for 200 plus yards on a regular basis. But to kind of throw the ball around would be nice to see. But we got another transfer quarterback coming from Miami, Van Dyke. So I don't know.
Is that for real?
Tyler Van Dyke. Yeah.
I didn't even look that up or see that ahead of time.
Because we had Tanner Mordecai, who came from SMU, I believe.
Wow, Tyler Van Dyke is going to be this. Well, I don't know if he'll be the starter, but I mean, I would assume so going into camp that he is in the best position to be the starter for Wisconsin.
That's why he went there.
That is wild.
I'm assuming the coach said, hey, we're gonna keep this open for you.
Well, yeah. I'm sure that a lot of coaches tell players that too. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll be starter. Commit to us. We'll definitely start you. And then they get in camp and they're like, oh no, whoever wins this position, it's open to, this position's completely open. You know, whoever performs best in training camp. But man, that's wild that that they're going to have Tyler Van Dyke there.
Good for Van Dyke getting out of Mario Cristobal's grasp, too. I mean, seriously, like everybody's like, oh, he's a great quarterback. He is. And he, for two seasons, had to play under Mario.
Well, that's a
very unimaginative offensive mind.
Well, one of my buddies who I was going to have in here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, but he is a diehard Miami Hurricanes fan. And trying to get like a true, like, I say honest opinion, but he's one of those fans where he will tell you like, oh yeah, Miami is going to win the ACC and they'll probably go 12-1. And it's like, you don't actually believe that, do you? And he's like, why wouldn't I? And it's just like, dude, please stop. Like, I would love to actually get his opinion. Like, please tell me for real, like quit playing with me and yanking my chain, like on the Miami Hurricanes. But again, this year with Wisconsin, the over under win total, I believe I saw it was at 6.5 for Wisconsin. Yes, 6.5 in Vegas. So, gosh, again, like, just seeing Wisconsin at this point with that record is a 6-6 or a 7-5. I mean, I would think that an 8-win season in Wisconsin this year, it'd be like, all right, I'm happy with that. I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, they got Alabama on the schedule this year. Obviously, the Big Ten's tough. They got, I mean, with the change in the Big Ten as well, I mean, you got USC, who I actually don't know much about now with, you know, we're probably going to get into talking a little bit about Caleb Williams here in a little bit. But then just the classic Big Ten teams, Penn State, you know, as long as we beat Minnesota and get the axe and, you know.
I want Paul Bunyan's axe, yeah. Damn it.
Yeah.
That is, again, that's crazy. Yeah. Alabama at Wisconsin at Camp Randall in week 3. That will be a fun game to watch. That's a 9 a.m. kick. And then the very next week, Wisconsin at USC. That is just bizarre as far as looking at Wisconsin's schedule, seeing those two games back to back.
And the Oregon game, November 16th, which is a day before my wife's birthday, which is the 17th. Yeah. It's interesting looking at the schedule.
So and then right after that Oregon game against Wisconsin, you will play at Nebraska. And Nebraska is the other team that's in this poll question because they, I don't know what hype is for Nebraska at this point because, I mean, they haven't been relevant for years.
I dropped Eric Crouch earlier. I was like, yeah. Isn't that the last time they were relevant was like Eric Crouch?
I think Bo Pelini had some good seasons after that. But as far as national prominence, yeah, Mr. Quarterback into wide receiver Eric Crouch, that would be correct.
Well, and at this moment in time on the poll question, they have the second most votes. They're at 32% as far as the Midwest football team that has the most pressure.
Are there a lot of Huskers in Portland?
Hey, Twitter, X, you know, we reach the masses all over.
I forget how social media works. It's
people
not like just
searching
like here.
Midwest or Nebraska, you know, this poll question show. I'm sure there are some people that are seeing this poll question that listen to the fan. They're like, why the hell should we care about the Midwest? Like, why? What the hell does this question have to do with anything? But again, because you were in, I wanted to go Midwest heavy today. But Nebraska, they are getting, again, I don't know if hype is the right word, because when you are used to winning 4 or 5 or 6 games a year, like, I feel that the Scott Frost years, they were extremely disappointing, and now this is year 2 of Matt Rhule, and then they get Dylan Raiola, who is one of the most coveted prospects over the last year. He was originally supposed to go to Georgia, decommits from there, now he's at Nebraska. Like, they have an over-under win total projection of 7.5 games, and I've seen, I don't even know if, like, thinking that they are a real threat in the Big Ten, or it's just a matter of like, oh no, they should just be better than they normally are. Like, that is the quote unquote hype of Nebraska. It's like, oh well, they're not gonna suck. I mean, they'll be formidable. They'll be decent enough. And is that like, that's the expectations for Nebraska at this point? Like, winning 8 games to them is a successful season.
Well, they've been pretty irrelevant for a pretty long time. So I and sorry, Husker fans out there, but yeah, I mean, they should beat UTEP, Northern Iowa.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
They have gone, this is their schedule, I'm not even kidding, since 2017, or their record since 2017. 2017, 4-8. 2018, 4-8. 2019, 5-7. The COVID year, 3-5. 2021, 3-9. 2022, 4-8. 2023, 5-7. They haven't had winning season since Mike Riley was there in 2016, for God's sakes. That might have been the year that they beat Oregon, when Oregon went to Nebraska in 2016, and they beat them then. I think that is the year that happened, in 2016. But dear God, I mean, you're going on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight losing seasons in Nebraska.
Never should have fired Bo. Never should have fired Bo Pelini, man. It's like, I get that there were some issues. Maybe he wasn't the nicest guy, but does nice matter in football?
He literally, Bo Pelini got you 7 straight years of at least 9 wins in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And then you go and have
title appearance.
Well, in the first year of Mike Riley, you went 6-7. So then that means, what is that? 8 of the last 9 seasons, you have had a losing record in Nebraska. So yeah, I guess when your over-under win total is set to 7.5, then yeah, hey, we have some hype this year. We have some hype this year that we might not actually suck. Good for you, Cornhuskers. You might not be bad this year. I am excited to see Dylan Raiola, though. Because he was, I believe, the number 2 quarterback in his recruiting class. And when a kid leaves Georgia to go to Nebraska, they must be giving him some stock and some, like, corn farms out there or something like that. Like, the fact that he made that decision, they definitely ponied up some cash for that.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a fun game this year, that second game, September 7th, Colorado and Nebraska. It's kind of always been a little rivalry, but now we got Dion in, what, his second year? And
yeah, that's that was one, I think a couple weeks ago, there was someone on Twitter I was going back and forth with, and I was like, I don't know what team to root for, like, or who I want to see that lose that game more, Colorado or Nebraska? Because, again, the Nebraska hype, quote-unquote hype this year, is just, like, baffling to me. But also, I would think, you know, when I really have to think about it, that I would want Nebraska to win that game over Colorado. Because Colorado is just, by the day, is becoming more and more insufferable with Dion and Shador and that entire team. So I'm gonna pull for Nebraska in that one, at least. But again, I'm intrigued to see how Nebraska's season goes in general. As far as, like, looking at their schedule, they'll have to go to Ohio State, they'll have to go to USC, they'll have to go to Iowa. I mean, it's not like too crazy of a schedule. Really, the toughest team that they will play is Ohio State, and then that game at Iowa, which will probably be like a 7-3 final score. But again, like, looking at the schedule, I mean, I do understand why the over-under is set at 7.5, because you're playing To start the year, UTEP, Northern Iowa, those should be a couple wins. I mean, you get Colorado and start the season 3-0, and then you play Illinois, Purdue, Rutgers, Indiana. I mean, that start of the season schedule-wise is, you know, not pretty favorable for Nebraska.
I do wonder, though, and actually, you know, Jerry, good question for you. I know we're kind of getting close to the top of the hour, but with this travel now, I know that there's going to be student athletes that are, you know, going to be having different situations than they ever have with conferences aligning differently and cross-country trips. Do you know anybody that's like, as soon as this happened in the Big Ten, like, oh my gosh, Oregon, Wisconsin, like, I'm going to start putting this on my calendar now. I'm going to try to get out to Eugene. Are there people there from the Midwest that are now excited about coming out to the West Coast? Or have you heard people excited to come there, vice versa? I've kind of wondered about that.
Yeah, I mean, at the bar, I mean, there's been people, you know, born and raised here in Oregon that are kind of excited to go to Madison, experience Camp Randall and the tailgating. Because, I mean, yeah, that's one thing. I mean, if we do anything right in the Midwest, it's tailgating. And one of my favorite experiences was, I forget how, what is it, 5, 6 years ago or so, when opening the season, Badgers, LSU at Lambeau Field.
Oh,
that was some of the best tailgating I've ever experienced, because you got all these people that travel from Baton Rouge up to Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're grilling brats and, you know, other Wisconsin types.
They're
food,
bringing deep fried chicken.
They are bringing, I mean, jambalaya. I mean, they're bringing everything up there, and they're tailgating with it, and everyone's getting along and having a good time. So, if anything, I mean, if you are an Oregon fan and or, you know, a Washington fan or whatnot, I would highly recommend heading to Madison in the coming years to get that experience, you know, tailgating and just the friendliness of everybody.
Yeah, and it's going to be, I'm sure, just nice, balmy weather out there on November 16th in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you never know. But yeah, it could might be a little chilly.
Is there a club area in that stadium that I can kind of hang out in?
Stay warm in?
Yeah, exactly.
The Big Ten, obviously, we're keeping an eye on this. It's still so bizarre to say that, too, is that, like, we have to pay attention to the Big Ten out here. Like, it's, I don't know if it's going to hit until the season starts and conference play actually begins, because even seeing things like the Big Ten patch on Oregon's jerseys, it's just like, what?
Like, worlds are colliding. Like,
yes.
Costanza.
Yeah. It is wild. All right. Want to take a break here for hour number two and get into some NFL football, because we got to get to Jerry's Bears.
Bears.
Dude, just a huge season for them coming up. The NFC North in general,
Bears.
It's going to be one of the more interesting divisions in football this season. Do an NFC North preview. We might get to U.S. men's basketball and women's basketball. We might have to talk about a certain division in the MLB. Sorry, Jordan. Hopefully we don't have enough time for that.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
Hour number two, though, with Jerry Benedetto of Jerry's Tavern. We will get to the NFC North next here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Sports Sunday, we're going Midwest here. Our poll question, I said, what Midwest football team has the most pressure this season? Is it the Bears, the Packers, the Badgers, or the Cornhuskers? I want to start with those last two teams, the Badgers and the Cornhuskers. The reason I bring them up are for two separate reasons. The Badgers are going through, like, kind of an identity crisis here, because you brought up earlier in the show that what is Wisconsin known for? Defense, running the ball, having huge, fat, corn-fed linemen up front and just pounding the line of scrimmage all day long until you're tired, and having a Monte Ball or someone run for 200, 250 yards a game, right? Like, that is what they're known for. But now it's year two of Luke Fickell. And
the air raid.
Yes.
It's supposed to be the air raid.
And that's
Tanner Mordecai, and that didn't really pan out.
Yeah. And that's where I think it's this year I wanted to put them in there, is because watching the Badgers last year, I felt like they tried that for the first part of the year, and then they're like, all right, we're clearly not ready for this. Let's just go back to what we have the players for and continue to do that, and then we'll kind of approach this again next year. So, like, the Badgers, I think the over-under win total for them this year was 6.5, which, again, for a team going through, like, an offense identity switch, I understand, but I wonder, as Wisconsin fans, like, how long until, like,
do you go through another season of that? And then it's like, all right, year three, like next year is the one. It's like, all right, we need to get to 9-10 wins. Because Wisconsin is known as being one of those thorn in the side Big Ten teams that it's like, we'll get an upset in Ohio State, Michigan, whoever, Penn State, and get 10 wins. And
typically win their side of the division and then losing the Big Ten championship to Ohio State by like 40. So it's like, that's kind of what it's been.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, like that's where I look at them and they are receiving the least votes in this poll question. So that's got to feel good as Wisconsin fans. Like, hey, I guess we have no pressure this year.
Yeah, I guess we'll take them. We'll see what happens. I mean, you got to get a win at right away against Western Michigan and South Dakota.
Oh, Western Michigan, the Chippewas?
Western Michigan is the Broncos, I believe.
Who are the Chippewas? Oh, that's Central Michigan. Central Michigan.
Are we
Chippewas.
Right? Western is the Broncos.
Yes. Can we get some that's right. They're black and gold, I want to say, are their colors, right?
Yeah. Western, are they Kalamazoo? I think they might be in Kalamazoo. I'm not sure.
So, again, like Wisconsin, I would love to see the Luke Fickell air raid offense like work out. I would love to see that team like make that identity switch and work out, because it's something we've never seen in Wisconsin before.
Yeah, and it's way more fun to watch as well when there's some action. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was great to watch like Jonathan Taylor a couple years back just like go for 200 plus yards on a regular basis, but to kind of throw the ball around would be nice to see. But we got another transfer quarterback coming from Miami, Van Dyke. So I don't know.
Is that for real?
Tyler Van Dyke. Yeah.
I didn't even look that up or see that ahead of time. That
because we had Tanner Mordecai who came from SMU, I believe.
Wow, Tyler Van Dyke is going to be this. I don't know if he'll be the starter, but I mean, I would assume so going into camp that he is in the best position to be the starter for Wisconsin.
That's why he went there.
That is wild.
I'm assuming the coach said, hey, we're gonna keep this open for you.
Well, yeah. I'm sure that a lot of coaches tell players that too. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll be starter. Commit to us. We'll definitely start you. And then they get in camp and they're like, oh no, whoever wins this position, it's open to, this position's completely open. You know, whoever performs best in training camp. But man, that's wild that that they're going to have Tyler Van Dyke there.
Good for Van Dyke getting out of Mario Cristobal's grasp, too. I mean, seriously, like everybody's like, oh, he's a great quarterback. He is. And he, for two seasons, had to play under Mario.
Well, that's a
very unimaginative offensive mind.
Well, one of my buddies who I was going to have in here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, but he is a diehard Miami Hurricanes fan. And trying to get like a true, like, I say honest opinion, but he's one of those fans where he will tell you like, oh yeah, Miami's gonna win the ACC and they'll probably go 12-1. And it's like, you don't actually believe that, do you? And he's like, why wouldn't I? And it's just like, dude, please stop. Like, I would love to actually get his opinion. Like, please tell me for real. Like, quit playing with me and yanking my chain like on the Miami Hurricanes. But again, this year with Wisconsin, the over-under win total, I believe I saw it was at 6.5 for Wisconsin. Yes, 6.5 in Vegas. So, gosh, again, like, just seeing Wisconsin at this point with that record is a 6-6 or a 7-5. I mean, I would think that an 8-win season in Wisconsin this year, it'd be like, all right, I'm happy with that. I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, they got Alabama on the schedule this year. Obviously, the Big Ten's tough. They got, I mean, with the change in the Big Ten as well, I mean, you got USC, who I actually don't know much about now with, you know, we're probably going to get into talking a little bit about Caleb Williams here in a little bit. But then just the classic Big Ten teams, Penn State, you know, as long as we beat Minnesota and get the axe and, you know.
I want Paul Bunyan's axe, yeah. Damn it.
Yeah.
That is, again, that's crazy. Yeah. Alabama at Wisconsin at Camp Randall in week three. That will be a fun game to watch. That's a 9 a.m. kick. And then the very next week, Wisconsin at USC. That is just bizarre as far as looking at Wisconsin's schedule, seeing those two games back to back.
And the Oregon game, November 16th, which is a day before my wife's birthday, which is the 17th. It's interesting looking at the schedule.
So and then right after that Oregon game against Wisconsin, you will play at Nebraska. And Nebraska is the other team that's in this poll question because they,
I don't know what hype is for Nebraska at this point because, I mean, they haven't been relevant for years.
I dropped Eric Crouch earlier. I was like, yeah. Isn't that the last time they were relevant was like Eric Crouch?
I think Bo Pelini had some good seasons after that. But as far as national prominence, yeah, Mr. Quarterback into wide receiver Eric Crouch, that would be correct.
Well, and at this moment in time on the poll question, they have the second most votes. They're at 32% as far as the Midwest football team that has the most
pressure. Are there a lot of Huskers in Portland?
Hey, Twitter, X, you know, we reach the masses all over. Right?
I forget how social media works. It's
people
not like just
searching
like here.
Midwest or Nebraska, you know, this poll question show. I'm sure there are some people that are seeing this poll question that listen to the fan. They're like, why the hell should we care about the Midwest? Like, why? What the hell does this question have to do with anything? But again, because you were in, I wanted to go Midwest heavy today. But Nebraska, they are getting... Again, I don't know if hype is the right word, because when you are used to winning four or five or six games a year, like, I feel that the Scott Frost years, they were extremely disappointing, and now this is year two of Matt Rhule, and then they get Dylan Raiola, who is one of the most coveted prospects over the last year. He was originally supposed to go to Georgia, decommits from there, now he's at Nebraska. They have an over-under win total projection of 7.5 games. And I've seen, I don't even know if like thinking that they are a real threat in the Big Ten, or it's just a matter of like, oh no, they should just be better than they normally are. Like that is the quote unquote hype of Nebraska. It's like, oh, well, they're not going to suck. I mean, they'll be formidable. They'll be decent enough. And is that like, that's the expectations for Nebraska at this point? Like winning eight games to them is a successful season.
Well, they've been pretty irrelevant for a pretty long time. So I and sorry, Husker fans out there, but yeah, I mean, they should beat UTEP, Northern Iowa.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
They have gone, this is their schedule, I'm not even kidding, since 2017, or their record since 2017. 2017, 4-8. 2018, 4-8. 2019, 5-7, the COVID year, 3-5, 2021, 3-9, 2022, 4-8, 2023, 5-7. They haven't had winning season since Mike Riley was there in 2016, for God's sakes. That might have been the year that they beat Oregon, when Oregon went to Nebraska in 2016, and they beat them then. I think that is the year that happened in 2016. But dear God, I mean, you're going on 7 straight losing seasons in Nebraska.
Never should have fired Bo. Never should have fired Bo Pelini, man. It's like, I get that there were some issues. Maybe he wasn't the nicest guy, but does nice matter in football?
Bo Pelini got you 7 straight years of at least 9 wins in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And then you go and have...
title appearance.
Well, in the first year of Mike Riley, you went 6-7. So then that means, what is that? 8 of the last 9 seasons, you have had a losing record in Nebraska. So yeah, I guess when your over-under win total is set to 7.5, then yeah, hey, we have some hype this year. We have some hype this year that we might not actually suck. good for you, Cornhuskers. You might not be bad this year. I am excited to see Dylan Raiola, though. Because he was, I believe, the number 2 quarterback in his recruiting class. And when a kid leaves Georgia to go to Nebraska, they must be giving him some stock and some like corn farms out there or something like that. Like the fact that he made that decision, they definitely ponied up some cash for that.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a fun game this year, that second game, September 7th, Colorado and Nebraska. It's kind of always been a little rivalry, but now we got Dion in, his second year? And
yeah, that's that was one, I think a couple weeks ago, there was someone on Twitter I was going back and forth with, and I was like, I don't know what team to root for, like, or who I want to see that lose that game more, Colorado or Nebraska? Because again, the Nebraska hype, quote unquote hype this year, is just like baffling to me. But also, I would think, you know, when I really have to think about it, that I would want Nebraska to win that game over Colorado. Because Colorado is just, by the day, is becoming more and more insufferable with Dion and Shador and that entire team. So I'm gonna pull for Nebraska in that one at least. But
again, I'm intrigued to see how Nebraska's season goes in general. As far as like looking at their schedule, they'll have to go to Ohio State, they'll have to go to USC, they'll have to go to Iowa. I mean, it's not like too crazy of a schedule. Really, the toughest team that they will play is Ohio State, and then that game at Iowa, which will probably be like a 7-3 final score. But again, like looking at the schedule, I mean, I do understand why the over-under is set at 7.5, because you're playing to start the year UTEP, Northern Iowa. Those should be a couple wins. I mean, you get Colorado and start the season 3-0, and then you play Illinois, Purdue, Rutgers, Indiana. I mean, that start of the season schedule-wise is, you know, not pretty favorable for Nebraska.
I do wonder, though, and actually, you know, Jerry, good question for you. I know we're kind of getting close to the top of the hour, but with this travel now, I know that there's going to be student athletes that are, you know, going to be having different situations than they ever have with conferences aligning differently and cross-country trips. Do you know anybody that's like, as soon as this happened in the Big Ten, like, oh my gosh, Oregon, Wisconsin, like, I'm going to start putting this on my calendar now. I'm going to try to get out to Eugene. Are there people there from the Midwest that are now excited about coming out to the West Coast? Or have you heard people excited to come there, vice versa? I've kind of wondered about that.
Yeah, I mean, at the bar, I mean, there's been people, you know, born and raised here in Oregon that are kind of excited to go to Madison, experience Camp Randall and the tailgating. Because, I mean, yeah, that's one thing. I mean, if we do anything right in the Midwest, it's tailgating. And one of my favorite experiences was, I forget how, what is it, 5, 6 years ago or so, when opening the season, Badgers, LSU at Lambeau Field.
Oh,
that was some of the best tailgating I've ever experienced, because you got all these people that travel from Baton Rouge up to Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're grilling brats and, you know, other Wisconsin types.
They're
food,
bringing deep fried cheese.
They are bringing, I mean, jambalaya. I mean, they're bringing everything up there, and they're tailgating with it, and everyone's getting along and having a good time. So, if anything, I mean, if you are an Oregon fan and or, you know, a Washington fan or whatnot, I would highly recommend heading to Madison in the coming years to get that experience, you know, tailgating and just the friendliness of everybody.
Yeah, and it's going to be, I'm sure, just nice balmy weather out there on November 16th in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you never know. But yeah, it could might be a little chilly.
Is there a club area in that stadium that I can kind of hang out in?
Stay warm in.
Yeah, exactly.
The Big Ten, obviously, we're keeping an eye on this. It's still so bizarre to say that, too, is that, like, we have to pay attention to the Big Ten out here. Like, it's, I don't know if it's going to hit until the season starts and conference play actually begins, because even seeing things like the Big Ten patch on Oregon's jerseys, it's just like, what?
Like, worlds are colliding. Like,
yes.
Costanza.
Yeah. It is wild. All right. Want to take a break here for hour number two and get into some NFL football, because we got to get to Jerry's Bears.
Bears.
Dude, just a huge season for them coming up. The NFC North in general,
Bears.
It's going to be one of the more interesting divisions in football this season. Do an NFC North preview. We might get to U.S. men's basketball and women's basketball. We might have to talk about a certain division in the MLB. Sorry, Jordan. Hopefully we don't have enough time for that.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
Hour number two, though, with Jerry Benedetto of Jerry's Tavern. We will get to the NFC North next here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.